chapter 4, John chapter 4. And gave me about 15 minutes, so we're going to try to do it. Okay. John chapter 4. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am I a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and we would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Leave that right there, Damien. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Leave that there. Six years ago, after the birth of Leah, the Lord commanded me to spend a few Sundays every March during Women's History Month to celebrate some of the godly women in the Bible. And over the course of 6 years, we have dealt with Deborah and Mary Magdalene and Ruth and Esther. Other strong women in the Bible. And we pause again, March again, which is Women's History Month. It does not get the press that Black History Month gets. You're not going to most likely have a Women's History program or a Women's History speaker. But we do celebrate the contribution of women to the United States of America during this much or more in honor of my daughter and all daughters. We will pause to celebrate some women or a few women in the Bible every March. And this Sunday morning, I want to talk about a nameless woman in the Bible. We simply know her as the woman at the well. After performing baptisms, like John, Jesus finds himself on the other side of the Jordan. And he's got to make his way back to Galilee. He leaves Judea and goes north past the Jordan, and he's on his way into the city or the territory that we call Galilee, which is north of Israel. In order to get from Judea to Galilee, one must go through a town or a municipality or a territory that is called Samaria. Many Jews, especially those who were Pharisaic Jews, would not even travel directly to or through Samaria because of the history of the Jews and the Samaritans. They would take 20 all the way around, 20 all the way, 95 back to get to Charlotte, so they wouldn't have to go through Blythewood. This area was populated by former Canaanites, or the children of Canaan, the grandsons of Ham. Out of the Canaanites that they began to populate with some of the Israelites. And they called them, which is a term I don't care for, mixed breed, because they were half Jew and half Canaanite. But the problem was is that during the Assyrian colonization, the Assyrian deportation, many of the citizens of this area were taken away, and there was no one else to procreate with but each other. So we have these people that we call the Samaritans. And so Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to go through Samaria, and they kind of look at him strangely because good Jews don't hang out in Samaria. But But the Bible says that he says that I must need. I must need. That's a double need. That I ain't got no choice, in other words. I've got to go through Samaria. And he finds himself in the city called Sychar, Samaria, the place of Jacob's well. We call this well Jacob's well, not because Jacob called it his well, but we call it Jacob's well because it's the same place that Jacob actually erected an altar to God, where Jacob fell on his face and repented to God because of his sins and trespasses. You know, anything about Jacob, you know that he is the trickster. He is the one who stole his brother's birthright. He is the one with his tricky mama took everything. Amen. And so after he erected an altar there, somewhere, sometime that we don't know historically, there was a well built there that women came to draw water from. And that is why we call it Jacob's well, because it's the same place that Jacob built his altar to repent and sacrifice unto God. You know the story. You've heard this text preached before. You know that most good women came there early in the morning while the dew was still on the roses. But this woman came at 12 noonday in the heat of the day because she didn't want to be bothered by the other woman because she had a little history. She had a little baggage, and she could always feel people's eyeballs on them. You ever felt somebody's eyeballs? They don't say a word. They don't text you. They don't tweet nothing. They don't post nothing. They just... You just can feel somebody staring. You really want to say, what you want? You just say, get out of my mouth. And so she finds herself there at noonday at Jacob's well to draw water. And all of a sudden, here comes this man in the heat of the day, and he opens up a conversation with her. She expected to be at this well all by herself. And magically, mysteriously, somebody just shows up. I want to quickly point out to you three things here in this text, and the three things I want you to see in this text. And I hope that one of them will be new and novel for you if you've ever heard this text preached before. First of all, I need you to see, which is mostly obviously in this text, is the well. Somebody say well. The first thing you have to see is what she sees first, and I'm sure what he saw first is the well, that she has come to this well for a reason. She thought she came at a time when nobody would be there, but interesting enough that when you think he's not there, he always shows up. Because some of us will admit that sometimes you plan some sin, but you couldn't plan that sin because it... Nobody want to be real. Y'all don't get all your prayers all on the song now. Come on with me now. Some, the liquor store was closed. Had the wrong address. Every now and then you have planned some things that didn't work out the way you planned them. Because he showed up. And so she's at this well by herself. But what is interesting about it, what I love about the text and how John says, he lets us know that the well was deep. Can I hear you say deep? One of the problems is in the church of today, Erica, is that we've got too much surface religion going on. We got too much surface. We just want to clean people, you know, on the outside with a little topical cleaning. But ain't nobody want to go deep. And it's very interesting that he has this woman at this well because he's got to go deep down in her soul. We want to do stuff, and it's our fault, and I'm not being a hypocrite because we ain't done the best we could do. You know, don't get shamed if you're this part of your ministry. We like to give our book bag because we don't want to. It's easy to fill a big bag. It's easy to put pens and pencils in them and tell them to go home. But ain't nobody want to follow them home. We want to invite you and your husband to the marital conference because y'all dealing with problems. We want y'all to get fixed over 3 days. We know you can't find no husband, can't find a man, can't keep no relationship. But ain't nobody want to deal about you and your dad and what the problems you and your dad have and how we can get you to work out what you and your daddy's problem is because you can't love no man because you felt like the man who was supposed to love you ain't never loved you, so you don't know how to love. Ain't nobody want to be. And why you can't have intimacy because you were molested, you can't let that thing go. You can't have no relations with nobody because your mind is telling you. Ain't nobody want to go deep with that stuff because ain't nobody want to take time with you and your problem because I got my own problem.
is deep. If you want to get the wisdom out of this world, you got to go a little deeper. And it's all right, y'all. Sometimes, you know, you ain't giving me but 2 minutes. Sometimes it's okay to let somebody go deep with you if it's going to bring about your healing. You know, sometimes the only way that you can, you know, you can fix your scars and mask your scars and have your scars clear up is that you acknowledge that you got a scar. That's why it is a scar. All of us who are boys, I show you my legs from all the scars I got from playing in the street. We played football in the street. We ain't had no road bikes. We ain't had no helmet. Some of y'all old children look like they're going to the moon with all this stuff y'all. You got to go deep and realize all of us got some scars in life. But there is a man that will stop by your situation and let you know that everything is going to be all right. Then after you see this well, see the water. Don't pass it. Don't pass it. Don't pass the fact that she came thinking she was going to get water, but she got wisdom. And it's the interesting thing about it, not only is water the symbol of life, but it's also in the text the symbol of wisdom as well. Listen to what Solomon teaches us in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of the mouth are deep water, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. He goes on to say that the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. This woman went to the well thinking she was going to get water for whatever her house needed that water for. We don't know if it was to wash dishes. We don't know if it was to take a bath or just whatever she needed water for in that house. That's what she had gone there because they had no running water like we had today. You had to go every day to get water from the well. But on this day, somebody say this day. This day she went to this well and she got the living water that the man said that if she would drink from it, she would never thirst again. She needed that living water, and each one of us needs that living water. Each one of us needs a fountain. Each one of us needs a stream that we can go to when times get tough, that we can understand that God is going to make a way out of no way somehow. That when we get perplexed, when we get burned down on our jobs and with our families, what's going on in the world, that there is a living stream pouring through us. And that's why David said when he was running from Saul and running to and through, that he would lead me beside still waters. That, not just to get a drink for refreshment, not so he could run on a little bit longer, but every now and then, David would get a sign from the Lord saying, you don't need to stay in that cave, or you need to stay in that cave. You don't need to stay in that house. You need to leave the house. You need to be away from this side and on the other side. Knowledge that you need if you have that living water running throughout of you. And so she comes to this well thinking that she's just going to get water for her house or water to drink, water for necessity, but there she gets living water because a man by the name of Jesus is there to meet her. And what this man does is he begins to tell her everything about herself, even before he asks one question. See, you ain't got to tell Jesus where you are. You don't need to tell Jesus what you're going through. You don't even have to ask Jesus why me. He already knows why you, because he chose you. And then third and finally, I want you to see this woman. You know, we always deal with two people in this text. We always deal with Jesus and the men. Like to talk about all the men that she had. Oh, we like to throw jokes about it. She had five, but then shacking up with the six, and then Jesus was the seven that completed her. But I want you to see today what Jesus saw. I want you to see today what Jesus saw. Jesus wasn't even looking for Jesus. He wasn't even looking for water. What Jesus saw in the text is the woman. Jesus paid attention, not to why she was there, not to what time she got there, not to the reason why she was there when no other women were there, but Jesus deals with this woman and her needs and her issues. He says, woman. He does not give her a name. He says, woman, because in actuality, this person could be anybody here under the sound of my voice. He calls her woman and says, if you would drink from this water I'm about to give you, you will never have to drink again. He deals with her as a woman and values her for who she is. Now watch what he does. He already sent the boys to town. When he deals with her, he deals with her one-on-one. See, Jesus ain't like us. Jesus don't put your stuff on Front Street. Jesus don't post all about your problems. Y'all need to stop posting all your mess on Facebook. But let me tell you why you need to stop. Because it's a lot of reasons. I'm going to give you one good reason. Only two other people know you have stuff going on. You don't post it on Facebook, now everybody know what God you got going on. Say that there ain't nobody got that. Everybody got some problems somewhere now and then. But the whole world don't need to know what you're going through because everybody ain't praying for you. So he does not embarrass this woman in front of the other boys, in front of the other men. And there's a good reason for that. We can't handle that type of stuff. Especially if we already know she was loose. Maybe there's somebody trying to get a number. Everybody in shock. Don't be in shock. I'm telling you the truth. You ain't got to read Steve Harvey book. Come to church. So he deals with this woman by herself, acknowledges her humanity by herself, and says, darling, I know you got a story. Darling, I know you've got a past. Darling, I know you've got issues. Darling, I know what the town people say about you. But I'm here to love you. I am here to restore you. I am here to deliver you. I am here to acknowledge your worth and your value because you are God's child. And then she drops the pot. She drops the pot and she starts running. Maybe one of the reasons why she drops the pot and she starts running is because it's the first time in her life she could feel genuine love. And it's sad to say that there are a lot of people who have never experienced genuine love and don't know it when it comes around the corner. There's some people who hate themselves, who find no value in themselves, who can't look in the mirror and be happy with themselves because of what either your mind is playing tricks on you or because of your baggage and the mistakes that you made in the past. Scared that somebody's going to find out you ain't all that you look like right now. And what you've been through and what you have done. And that's why she drops the pot. And when she drops the pot, she drops her past. She drops the fact that she had to come there at noonday when nobody could see her and wanted to be around her. She drops the fact that people talked about her and scandalized her. And she drops the fact that no man really wanted to stay with her that long. And here is one man that comes by and loves her. And look, doesn't even ask nothing from her. And that's when you know somebody really loves you. When they don't ask nothing of you. You need to be discerned when you are, especially y'all who are still dating, when they need to borrow your car on the first week. If they need a loan on the second date, that ain't the one for you. I don't care how tall, dark, and handsome he is. Better get with this short, light, and cute and let me buy you a meal. That was before you, David. That don't lie. Nobody else know you. I want to get back home. you see the well? Do you see the water? And do you see this woman? This woman who Jesus knew had a need. This woman who Jesus knew had some issues and some problems and lacked self-esteem. And so he comes and gives this woman who has no name, because she does not need a name. She's universal. She's universal. She is everyone that the world has been tough on. Everyone who's been molested. She's everyone who's been sexually abused. She's everyone who's been abused. She's everyone who's been talked down to. She's everyone who felt that they have been sexually harassed. She is the first Me Too protagonist. She is the first Me Too victim. She is the first one to say, yeah, Jesus, me too. But after she leaves that well, after she leaves that water, after she is made whole as a woman, she becomes a witness. And she goes into the city, and people say, are you the woman? Are you the one who's been abused? But are you not the one who Jesus has saved? And she says, me too. I was a leper, but he saved me. Me too. I was abused, but he healed me. Me too. I was unlovely. I was unloved. But me too. I didn't know where to go. But me too. I didn't know how to make it. But me too. He loved me in spite of me. And now I can be a witness to the Lord and witness to him that comes in him, that has told me everything I've ever done. But he still loved me. And I'm going to tell my story that he is my Savior. And so, yeah, did you say me too?
To you.